Well, the ark is just like a box, okay? It is a rectangular box. Right? I'll just simply draw this rectangular box. Right? Yeah. And above the rectangular box, you have two cherubims of glory with their two wings coming up, right? There are two wings coming up. Right here is one cherubim and the other one here with also two wings coming up, right? These are the cherubims. The cherubims. Now the cherubims are those who guarded the glory of God. Right? They are angelic being responsible to take charge and guard the glory of God. It's called the cherubims of glory. Then you have two rings here, one ring here. And two rings on the other side, the same thing. And then you have a pole going through this ring, right? And then the other side, you have another pole there going through the other side. Right here, you have the poles for the priest to carry the cherubim. I mean, the Ark of the Covenant. Then within this wonderful ark, you can really see it is outwardly is overlaid with gold. So it is wood of acacia overlaid with gold, which actually is a wonderful picture of Christ. Now, this covering here is also called the propitiation cover because it is here that our Lord make the propitiation for our sins, and at the same time it's called the mercy seats. It's the throne, but it's called the mercy seats, the throne of grace. So you have these three names. Why am I telling you all this? Right? It's called the propitiation cover. And number two, it is also called the mercy seats. Yeah. The mercy seat. But then it is also called the what? Throne of grace. So on one hand it is a throne. A throne is something glorious, of course. A throne is where a king sit on top of it with a throne. But then for us today, it is not a throne that we should be afraid of because it is called the mercy seat. Right? And then on the other hand, it is called the propitiation covering. Right? In Romans chapter 3, God has made Christ to be the propitiation covering for our sins. So it is not just a throne for the Lord to rule there as king, but at the same time it's a mercy seat where we can come and receive mercy and grace. So it's called the throne of grace for us, full of mercy, and it is the place of propitiation where the Lord is there making the propitiation for us. So all these three names you have to know. Then what is inside this wonderful box, a treasure box? You have three things inside this Ark of Covenant. So the whole thing is called an ark. Okay, where do I write it here? An ark. Ark of Covenant. So many names to remember. It's called the Ark of Covenant because it is through this ark that God made a covenant with his people. Right? Through Christ, our Lord. Now, within the ark, you have three things. Number one, you have the golden pot. Golden pot, there's a pot. And within this golden pot, you have the hidden manna. It's called the hidden manna. Right? It's a hidden manna. It's really hidden. Okay. Oh, you're all standing there. And number two, you have Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod. You know, it budded. It's an iron's rod that budded. That means it is full of life and it's a resurrection life. Because a rod, if it's cut off from the tree, is what? It's dead. No, it's a stick. Stick has no more life. Right? It cannot bear almonds anymore. And by the way, almonds refer to the resurrection. But it's so amazing, the rod of Aaron put in the Holy of Holies there, in the holy place there, with all the other rod, 12 rods, right, from the 12 tribes because of rebellion, Korah's rebellion. So God says, I will show you something. Each one of you in each tribe bring your rod, the rod of the one who rules over each tribe, right? So 12. And in the morning, any one of those rod that buds proves that he's chosen by God. And sure enough, overnight, the only rod the next morning that budded was Aaron's rod. Not only it budded, it has a fruit. My goodness. So only Aaron's rod has the real life. So you want to know where the real authority is, you have to see the life. Right. And then number three, you have the two tablets of commandments there, right? Of the law. Right, the two tablets is in there. So you can realize that all of these is hidden now, put there as a treasure in this ark. Okay? Clear? This is law. I'm sorry, it's not very nicely written. It's so low down there. Tablets of law. Right? So, now this is the wonderful ark that is right there in the Holy of Holies. So you have to fully realize that this ark represents actually the living God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you take a look at the tabernacle there, which is the temple, the tabernacle of God, the tabernacle of the testimony, who dwells there? It is God himself who dwells there, not a mosquito. Right? So you can really see that this is Christ. The ark symbolizes Christ, the living Christ. Right? So this is a glorious thing here. Now, within the Lord Jesus Christ, you have there the hidden manna, because the manna is really the bread from heaven. You remember Moses, at a time when they were in the wilderness, they had nothing to eat. So the Lord sent the manna to eat. And John chapter 6, we read this morning, it is not Moses who sent bread from heaven for you, but who? Our Father. And who is this bread? It is Christ. Christ said, I am the bread of life. Now, why is it called a hidden manna now? Because as long as they're in the wilderness, every day they have to gather manna. It's an open manna for everybody. But as soon as they enter into the good land, manna ceased, no more. Because now they have to labor on the good land and to eat from the riches, the produce of the good land. So God told Moses to get a portion of this manna as a memorial. Put it in a golden pot and put a golden pot with the manna, because now the hidden manna is in the pot, and put it there in the ark. Praise the Lord. So that means that the manna, you don't see manna anymore, right? So this portion becomes very special. Because you don't see it anymore, you don't get to taste it anymore, it becomes a very special food. Just like something, well, so common before, now becomes so special because you don't see it anymore. If you see a Model T Ford, you don't see it anymore running around. So when you have one hidden in your garage, well, that must be very precious, right? And you definitely don't want to drive it around. You keep it there only in a very, very, very special occasion. You would drive your special car. Right? Won't you do that? And whoa, people say, whoa, what is that? What is that? Well, that is the hidden car. Of 1927 or something like that. Right? Wow. Now, so eventually in the book of Revelation to the church in Pergamos, those who overcome, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. It becomes a very special reward today. At a time where nobody knows what it is, because it was hidden in Christ Jesus. Right? Precious things are always hidden. And it's only for those who overcome the world, who overcome. Right? So you can really see that portion now is hidden in our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a wonderful portion. You want to eat that? Well, you better qualify yourself. Right? And then that Aaron's rod, the rod that buds, meaning to say this authority is not a regular authority. It is an authority in resurrection. And who is the resurrection one, resurrected one? Christ. He went through death. He came out in resurrection. He overcame Satan. He learned obedience. And today he has the authority. He's the one sitting on the throne. So that rod belongs to him. And he is greater than Aaron today. What is he today? He is the great heavenly high priest, the real high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, sitting on the throne. My, he has the wonderful authority. Who has this rod today? Somebody we know in Europe, or no? Somebody who passed away before? No. Nobody had that rod. Who had the rod today? Who had the scepter of uprightness today? You tell me. So many people are missing this wonderful ark. Yeah. Right? So you can really realize today our Lord is the only qualified person who has the true authority, sitting on the throne at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is higher than he? Right? Do you know anybody higher than this Christ who is sitting on the throne today? Who holds that scepter of uprightness? Who has the true authority? So which authority are you under? My authority? Grandpa's authority? What if Grandpa is wrong? Hey, you have to listen to me because I am Grandpa. What will you tell your Grandpa? There is someone who is more grand than you. There is one who is higher above you, sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is really the grand, grand king, king of kings, lord of lords. So who are you going to listen to? The grander one. Yes, you have to all learn this. Don't think I'm joking. I'm not joking. This is what happened to people today, in the Christians today. They listen to people who are not so grand. They neglect to listen to the one that's really sitting on the throne. The one who has the rod that budded. So you better know who has that rod, okay? If somebody wants to say, I am the authority, I am the responsible one here, I am this, tell me, show me your rod. Where is your rod? You only have a little stick. Your stick doesn't count. I want to see this rod. Praise the Lord. And then there are the two tablets of the law, the testimony of the law. These two tablets now are hidden in Christ because nobody else could fulfill the law. Can you fulfill the law? You? A little bit. Nobody could fulfill the law. We are lawless. There is only one who is really righteous. It's written in Romans chapter 8 concerning this wonderful Christ, what the law could not do because of the weakness through the flesh, God did it. Amen. How did he do it? He came himself, he sent his son. Right? And through his son, he destroyed sin, took away sin, and destroyed the enemy, him who has the power of death. And he fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. So, these two tablets of stone, the best place to put it is not in you, because you're not qualified. You cannot fulfill these two tablets of the law, can you? You cannot. So who is the best one to keep that law? The one who fulfilled it. So all these three wonderful things belongs together. Yeah, belongs together. And all these three things were hidden in this wonderful box called the Ark of the Covenant. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Sorry? Yes, of course it is a wood. Yes, it is a branch. An almond branch. Yes, that's why almond represents resurrection also. And that's why you can see the golden lampstand. Right? You remember me sharing about it? It looks like an almond, golden almond tree. Right. So, this is the ark. Right, which is today in the Holy of Holies, which in Hebrews chapter 4 at the very end, let us come therefore with boldness to the throne of grace, that we can receive mercy and grace to help us, right, in timely need. Right? You have to come here. And we can come with boldness because it's not just a throne, but it's a throne of grace. And we can come because it is at the same time a propitiation cover. And this propitiation cover shows that in the days of old, God, before Christ came, has covered our sins. But today, he not only covers our sins so that it's not visible, but he washes our sins and makes us white as snow. So even the word propitiation again is mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Right. My little children, these things have I written to you. John says that you sin not. So praise the Lord. That means it's possible not to sin. We should walk in the light. Remain in the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Enjoying this living word and the life which manifested. Why, if we take care of these things, it's supposed to make us not sin. Not to sin. We have a sin offering to liberate us from the dominion of sin and death. But in case we sin because we are not perfected yet, right? Once in a while you make mistakes. On purpose, you like to sin on purpose to make mistakes and to offend God? No, but you can't help it because of this terrible thing. So what happened if you sin? What did it say now in verse 2? But, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, but if anyone sin, what did it say? We have an advocate before the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, right? Oh, come on, young girl, you should have a better memory than I. Right? And he is not only propitiation for our sins, but for the sin of the whole world. But unfortunately, they don't want it. Right? That's why it says, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, will not perish, but have eternal life. Right? So this is this wonderful propitiation. And God has made Christ to be the propitiation, cover for our sins. Right? And that is in Romans chapter 3. So you can really see this wonderful ark of the covenant. Yeah. Maybe before we erase it, you can take a photo. I don't know. Otherwise, you're going to have to draw them again.
That's practice.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. So you have this wonderful Ark of the Covenant that is dwelling in the Holy of Holies. So practically, today, the Holy of Holies is in our spirit. You remember the three parts of the tabernacle, the outer court, then the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant dwells. You don't see the Ark of the Covenant outside running around playing football in the court. No. And you don't see the Ark of the Covenant even in the holy place. But you see it hidden there. And because it is so holy, during that age of the Old Covenant, no one can enter in apart from the great, from the high priest, and only once a year in the Day of Atonement, on the 7th month, on the 14th day of the month in the Jewish calendar. And that is during the time of the Feast of Atonement. You better remember all these. Right? And be able to tell everybody about it. Well, if people have no ears to hear, then they don't hear. What can I say? But if you have an ear to hear, we have a lot of things to say. But I don't think people like to hear that. They say, useless. Okay, for them it's useless. For us it's precious. Just like what Peter says concerning the living stone, chosen by God but rejected by man, but precious for God, and becoming the cornerstone of Zion, built by God. So now you can really see how wonderful it is. Right? I'm sorry I can't turn this. But if you picture again, have it in your mind, don't worry about it. You can.
There's a
whiteboard back here. Oh. Is that Adam and Eve in the tree of life? Or the tree of knowledge?
Yeah, who did that?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, now we can erase it.
There's in the back.
There it is.
All right, okay. I don't want to to dirty the. Okay, sure, right.
Who's dry back here?
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, all right.
Good.
Oh.
Those are two damaged pieces.
Oh.
We have to get a new whiteboard.
No need. As long as it still functions, that's fine. So I'm going to make it smaller now, okay? So you have... I'm going to make use of that damage part.
Okay.
put it here. Okay, so if you have the tabernacle here. All right. And when you come in, you have the altar here. Yeah, the burnt offering altar, right? It's been used so many times because everybody's offering again and again and again. So it's spirit and a brand new one, right? Never used. Just like what Muchang says, you know, you have everything there, you never used it. So better practice the priesthood. So you have this wonderful thing there. And then here again you have this one there. Right. And you have the liver here. Okay. Right. And then you have, sorry, it's still not good enough. Right. Yeah. Then you have the Holy of Holies and the Ark is here. The Ark is here. Right. And then you have, of course, the lampstand, right? And you have the table here with the bread. And then you have the golden incense altar there. Now, if you look at this, in a way, the Bible says, our body, you, are the temple of the living God. Right, you see that, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he who destroys and damages the temple of God, God will destroy him. And you are the temple of the living God. And also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, that we are the temple. And of course, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at the very end, your body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? Now, let me draw a man here again, right, with three parts. We have the body, which corresponds to the outer court, right? This is the outer court. We have a soul here, which corresponds to the holy place here, right? This is the holy place, holy place. And then we have the spirit, praise the Lord, for our human spirit, right? Which corresponds to the Holy of Holies, right? The Bible is very meaningful, right? So here, this part deals with the outside world, right? And this part of the soul is our inner being. And then we have the spirit, which is really corresponding to the Holy of Holies. And we know that the Holy Spirit of God, Christ Jesus our Lord today, dwells here in our spirit. We are born again of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God comes in and dwells in us. Where is Christ today? Definitely not here. Right? And is it just in your mind? No. That is why if you worship God, you must worship God where? In spirit. Right here. Because this part corresponds to this part. And this part in our spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells, Christ as the Spirit dwells, is fully connected to the heavenlies, to the throne where Christ today is sitting. So you can really see that no wonder this tabernacle is so important for us to realize today. Right? And so this part is a separation from anything outside. Our body touches the things that are outside. Right? And the soul part touches the things that are inside. We need his enlightening. Right? We need the food to strengthen us, to save us, and to nourish us. We need light to shine into this part. Right? And then, praise the Lord, we have a very, actually, we have three parts. Okay, let's just put these three parts. Our emotion, our will, and our mind here. This is the part of our soul. The Greek word for soul is the same as the word psyche, right? Psychology. That means the study of the soul, psyche, right? So here you can really see this is a more hidden part, like this. And then you have the spirit. Praise the Lord for the spirit, the innermost part of our being. Now, don't think the spirit is good enough. No. Our soul needs to be transformed. How? By the light of life. Amen. By eating the bread of life to nourish us so that we can be transformed, learning to live by Christ. Because if you don't eat, try not to eat for 1 week. See if you can go to your office and work. Yeah. Try not eating for 1 week. Not one, 2 days. 1 day. And the next day you go swimming. And tell me how fast you swim. Ah, you'll be hardly floating even. Right? No life, no energy. Because you have no supply of this life strengthening you. You have to eat, right? Can you imagine you don't eat for 3 days? You cannot go swimming. Right? So here you have to realize in this part what we really need is the light of life. Right? That's how we really learn to walk in the light. As he is in the light, so he is our light. And then to eat the bread of life, the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ incorporated in the living word. So, yes, on one hand we eat the humanity of Christ as the unleavened bread, but then this unleavened bread is to be eaten through the living word of God. So don't just take and learn some doctrines. Remember the letter kills. Then, of course, we have this, the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit lives. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, here in the Spirit, we are one spirit with him. This is where we really, right, have the true fellowship with him. So you can see how these three parts must be fully sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. May the God of peace sanctify us spiritually, partially, completely in the spirit. What? Spirit, soul, that's good enough. and the body. You can analyze it in doctrine with the three parts, but in the practical daily living, this is three in one, because each part will influence the other part. You don't deal with the ego, the self is going to kill you. In the beginning, you're so burning in the spirit, but your soul is not changed and not transformed. As the year goes by, it becomes even harder, and you want to be bigger, and at the end, it will kill you. Or if you do not experience the cross of Christ to crucify the flesh, like Galatians chapter 5, at the very end says, they that are Christ have crucified their flesh with the passion of the flesh. If you do not deal with it, and you let the lust and the passion of the flesh take over, it will also kill you. So may the God of peace sanctify you partially, completely, meaning to say your whole spirit, soul, and body must be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And so, although, you will see, it is three parts, and I have to go through here first, and then I have to go through here first, and then I have to go through here first, and I have to go through here. Wow, that is a long way to go. Because only if you draw it like this, you can understand how many aspects that we have to really learn and experience, right? But actually, in our daily experience, all of these are interrelated. All of them are interrelated. You want to enter into the Holy of Holies, you need the blood, and the blood is right here in this burnt offering altar through the sin offering, right? And then you have the living water to wash you, right? This is called the water of life by the Spirit. And then you enter in, you have the light, and you eat the bread. And you pray, and how often do you pray? Not only when you enter in. What did the Bible say? Pray every day, once in a while. 5 minutes a day. Pray always. Oh, only on Tuesday evening at the prayer meeting. Once a week. Pray once in a while. Only in the morning. In the morning watch. You pray without ceasing. You constantly remain in the fellowship. Right? And Paul says, I always, what did he say? I always exercise myself to have a good conscience toward God and toward man. Always. Not just before you're going in, Monday through Friday, you're outside there somewhere. I'm now going in. Then you try to, Lord, cleanse my conscience. No, too late. Well, maybe it's not too late, but you'll have a hard time having your bodies washed with pure water right here, having your conscience sprinkled from an evil conscience in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, right? You have to learn all these. And then you go in and you're a person walking in the light of life, always eating from this wonderful bread of life and always remaining in contact through prayers. Then it'll be very easy for you to really, any time of the day, to come to the throne of grace, to enter into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament days, only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, like I said, the 7 months, the 14 days. Right? But today, praise God, we can come boldly, and that word boldly means with confidence. Doesn't mean that, oh, you're so courageous, it doesn't matter, I'm not afraid, I'm going to go right in. No, that's not what boldly means. It means with confidence. And how can you have confidence? Because you're a person enjoying the blood, the washing, the cleansing, the trespass offering all the time. Enjoying the sin offering all the time. Don't think only if you did something wrong, you need the blood. Right? That fly also wants to enter in. Right? No. You have to be one who appreciates the blood at all times because, hey, even if you have not sinned, this sin is accompanying you. Sin dwells in the flesh. We need the precious blood of Christ, right? And the sin offering. How wonderful it is, right? And then you need the living water all the time to drink, to be washed organically. How often do you drink water? Many times, right? Don't you drink water all the time? You see people always carrying a bottle of water. Right? And then how often do you wash? Many times a day. Right? You wash your hands. You wash your feet. Because your feet touches this earth, this world, this evil world. And your hands are always dealing with the things of I don't know what. Once you touch your computer, you better go and to this lever. You only wash your hands when you go to the bathroom, right? But you know, that thing, it's called Apple. It's very defiling at times. You wash your hands after you use your computer. But that's the physical water, H2O. What about this water here? That's why the priests, upon entering, they have to wash their feet. And they have to wash their hands. Why? Because of the contact with the worldly things. You think you don't need a washing? You do. I'm sorry, we don't have the consciousness. I need a washing. Lord, I need a laver. So this is a very practical picture of the living, holy temple of God. Hebrews, Ephesians chapter 2 says, and the whole body, right, we all, the whole building grows into a what kind of a temple? A holy temple in the Lord. Right? Right. And we will be builded up into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Right. So it is spiritual and it is a holy temple of the Lord. And why are we here? Just for this or just for that or just for these three? No, our goal is here. Why do you come to my house? Just to eat some bananas? I sure hope not. You should say, I come to see you. If you come to my house every day and you don't see me, why do you come? Why do you come? Just to see the wall? to see the furnitures. What do you want to see? You see the tree without leaves? We come into this place here not to experience this, not just to experience that, and not just to eat because I'm hungry, and not just to get some light and appreciate that golden lampstand. Wow, what a piece of art. Because, hey, it really is a piece of art. Because it is beaten out of one talent of gold. And you cannot separate the branches. You cannot say, I'm going to make this branch first, and that branch, and this branch, and the stand, and this, and then I'm going to glue them together. No, it's not that kind of work. The Lord does not, he's not in, a Lego business. That's why you think, oh, he's going to build there, a little bit there, a little bit there. When he comes, then he's going to join them together. I said, no. You have to see how this golden lampstand was made. Then you have to be a very skillful goldsmith that knows how to handle the gold and be very artistic. You think it's easy to build a church? Try to carve a lampstand made of soap without breaking any of the arms and any of that cup that looks like almonds. Okay, then use gold. You think you can do it? People think it's so easy to build a church. You're gravely, grossly mistaken. Right? So, but all of this, as wonderful as it seems, is not our goal. Our goal is come directly to the throne of grace there to have fellowship with the living God, with his wonderful Christ, to gain him, to see him, to talk to him, to hear him, to receive from him. Otherwise, what's the use of this? People like just to stay outside there and have fresh air and have a good time and play ball here, ping pong here, and play badminton there, and tennis here, and they build playground. You come to the church meeting to play or to pray? It sounds very similar. Right? Are you here to play or to pray? My house shall be called a house of players. No? Of prayers. Among all the nations, they should come here to pray. To pray is not just, oh, to pray. No, to pray is to have the living fellowship with him. Right? When you come here, we talk a lot to each other, right? Yeah. Well, that's fellowship. When I talk to you, I use the word talk, conversation. I talk to Jasmine. But when I talk to God, I use another word called I pray to him. But it's the same thing, right? Except that it is a really wonderful time of fellowship, and the fellowship is always two ways, from us to him and from him to us. Right? So we all need to learn to have such a wonderful fellowship right here in the Holy of Holies. Practical, right? And so when you come in, what do you see here? Just a little box You think our Christ is so simple? No, 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 no. So what do you see when you come into the Holy of Holies? That you see that. This is a wonderful ark. You see the cherubims of glory. It's beautiful, wonderful. Right. And all of gold there. Right. And you see a wonderful crown here. Right? Because our Lord is crowned with honor and glory. Right? So it looks like a real crown and a throne of grace and this wonderful content, a golden pot with a hidden manna, Aaron's rod that budded and still budding today. Ah, praise the Lord. And you have the two tablets of the law, fully fulfilled by the Lord. And such a wonderful Christ you need to know. You need to really see his glory. You need to really see what is in this wonderful Christ. Right. Praise the Lord. It's over. 6 o'clock. No more question, right? Super clear, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We pray you will open our eyes to see such a wonderful ark. You are this wonderful throne of grace. Amen. Propitiation covering.
Amen.
Yes, you are the mercy seat there. We can approach you so wonderfully every time today.
Amen.
And to see the glory of the Lord. We see you crowned with honor and glory, sitting on the throne,
Amen.
Having the scepter of righteousness.
Yes.
You who have fulfilled the law,
Amen.
Gone through all the tests,
Amen.
All the sufferings,
Amen.
You have been perfected. Amen. Now you are our life,
Amen.
Able to save to the uttermost.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you for such a wonderful ark of the covenant.
Amen.
And with you are such a covenant.
Amen.
Today we can through you receive every blessing promised by God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.